Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and you're listening to another in a pre-system teleseminar series. Every year before the annual system seminar, I interview every single one of our faculty members so you can get to know them, know what they're going to talk about, and most importantly, take away some information that you can use right now to expand your business. These calls are free, but don't think that they're not packed with information. We even had one student tell us that he built a six-figure-a-year business with nothing more than these calls. So other people may want to charge thousands of dollars for this kind of stuff. We're giving it away for free. Why do we do that? We want you to know about the System Seminar. It's an annual event. I have been doing an annual system gathering, an annual internet marketing gathering since 1994. In 2002, I put the word "the system" on it, and I opened it up to everybody. And we have produced more success stories in internet marketing than any other seminar group, and maybe all the other seminars combined. I've been saying this for years. Nobody's ever challenged me on it. The reason they're not challenging me on it is because it's true. If you think about what a seminar is for, it's not to make the seminar promoter rich. It's to make the students successful. And by that yardstick, we are the most successful internet marketing seminar in history. Part of the reason we are is the quality of our faculty. I am interested only in two things when it comes to faculty member. I don't care how famous they are. I don't care what member of what good old boys network they are. I don't care how many bribes they offer me. I only want two things: high quality information and a passion for sharing and teaching that information with others. And by that measurement, we've got a great faculty member for this call talking about an unbelievably important topic. Christina Hills, welcome.
Thank you, Ken.
Christina has done a lot of amazing things in her life. I'll just tell you one of them, and you'll get how amazing her life has been. She was a senior technical director on the Star Wars Episode I at Industrial Light and Magic. So this is somebody who's done some really interesting stuff in her life, decided to have children, and realized, hey, it's kind of hard to work the 12 and 18-hour days that corporate America requires and spend the time you want to spend with your family. So she looked around for an alternative, discovered internet marketing. Luckily for us, landed at our door, got some other great input from other sources, I'm sure, and I've been so impressed by her work, I've asked her to be a faculty member. I think this is the second time.
This is actually the third time.
Okay, well, there you go. Amazing. Today we're going to talk about a really important topic, and it's gotten overlooked, I'm somewhat guilty of this myself. This topic is so fundamental to everything we do in internet marketing. It is, I would say, the most important thing in internet marketing at the end of the day. And, you know, sometimes it's, we've been around for a while and we get interested in all kinds of new developments and breakthroughs and Web 2.0 and video and all these things, all of which are very important. We can overlook the basics. And I'm afraid maybe we've overlooked the basics a little bit. So this call, we're going back to the basic, and that basic is email marketing. There is nothing more important in the universe of internet marketing than email marketing. If you have a good list and you've taken good care of that list, you have a machine for making money. If you don't have a list, you don't have anything. So we're going to focus on that today. And I want to thank Christina for pulling at my coattails a while back and saying, hey, Ken, we really need to focus on email marketing again. It's been a while since we did a session on that, and I couldn't agree more. And that's where we are today. So, Christina, where should we start with this topic? Am I overestimating how important it is?
No, you're not. It came to me because there's all this glitz with Web 2.0. You know, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, blogging. You know, it's all great, but when you boil down to like the lowest common denominator, you know, everybody's got an email address. You know, not everybody goes to blogs. Not everybody does RSS feeds. We can explain what that is in a minute. You know, everybody has email, and everybody is reading their email every day. So you don't want to just rely on Web 2.0 stuff, and don't be totally dazzled and carried away by it that you forget about email marketing, which is the fundamental way to make money in your business.
Great, great. I would hazard a guess that, you know, while there is a tremendous amount of Web 2.0 activity on the part of users, that I'm sure the majority of just normal people are not involved in it. You know, they're using the web to check things that are important to them, maybe sports scores, maybe stock prices. I don't know, maybe some people follow their soap operas, you know, all the million and one reasons people use the web. And they might use the web if they're doing some shopping. And then they send and receive email.
Right.
And you're right, you know, there are still a fair number of people that don't surf at all.
Right.
Or they surf very sparingly. I mean, not everybody's a computer jockey.
Well, you know, I have Facebook, and I use Facebook, but still my email, Facebook, comes to me via email to remind me to go back to Facebook. You know, and that is why we do email marketing, is to remind our subscribers, our customers, our prospects to come back to our website.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Facebook is Web 2.0, the email is reminding me to go there. So,
gotcha.
I think Web 2.0 is great. It's really changing the way people are acting on the internet. But why I wanted to put together this course is to give people the fundamentals of email marketing and how it works and how you, as a business owner, can build your email marketing system. And, you know, Ken, I say business owner, but I just want to point out, you know, people may want to get on the internet not for a business but for a cause they have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about making money. I mean, everybody wants to make money, but I don't want to exclude the people who have a passion or a cause that they're fighting for, that they want to use the internet and email marketing to help, you know, drive people to help them in their cause.
Well, I can give you an example of that in real life. Down here in New Orleans, there's a group called Levies.org, and Their mission is to make sure that the levees get rebuilt correctly, and that the levees that weren't built correctly get fixed. And it's an uphill battle. And when I met with the founder, I said, first thing I asked her is, how big is your email list? And because this was such a hot topic a few years ago, she accumulated 8,000 names.
Wow.
Yeah, just by, without any, Christina, you can't imagine the hoops somebody had to jump through to sign up for this list. First you had to find the button, then click on the link, then get to another page, then fill out this insanely long form that asked for all kinds of information that nobody needed. My guess is she could have had 80 to 100,000 names if she just had a simple opt-in box on her homepage. But hey, you know, we started with what we had, and she had 8,000. And membership was dwindling because, you know, people focus was off the topic. And I said to her, look, you know, this is all about names. And she got it, and she put an opt-in right on her homepage. In a year, tripled her membership, has gone from being a marginal figure in New Orleans to she was just voted into the Women's Hall of Fame for the state of Louisiana.
Wow.
She's now quoted in the New York Times and the Associated Press. It's a whole new world for her, and it's based on the number of names she has. Names
right.
are power.
Right.
So they could be financial power. They could
right.
be power for doing good. We could go on and on about this, but I think the point's made.
Right. Yeah. I just like to point that out because you kind of get tired of people saying, you know, you do this, make money here, make money there. Some people don't want that. So I think it's important to state that it could be money, a cause, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to, for anyone who doesn't know what the term opt-in is,
good.
I just want to say what that term is. An opt-in is when you go to a website and you see some kind of, usually it's a little box, some kind of offer where it asks the person for their name and email, and they put in their name and their email, and they click the submit button that's considered opting in, mm-hmm. which is different from a purchase. A purchase, you're entering your address and your credit card and phone number, all this other information. So when we use the term opt-in, it's the prospect, the user, coming to your site, putting in their name and email, and clicking a button. You know, you and I, we sometimes take things for granted, and then I get these questions, what is an opt-in? And it reminds me, okay, I need to explain all those fundamental words.
It's really worthwhile. And, you know, I don't even mind personally being reminded of this idea of the opt-in, because it's such a core issue to our business. If you can develop a traffic source, and if you can develop a landing page that stimulates people to opt in, you've got a tremendous resource, just tremendous. And what's odd is I don't think 9 out of 10 publishers on the Internet, whether profit or nonprofit, get this.
Yeah.
Maybe 99 out of 100 don't get it. And yet that little mechanism of the opt-in box is just critical.
Right. And you want to make that prominent. You know, when you come to my site, shoppingcartqueen.com, you see my opt-in right in the center of the page on the first home page. But in terms of people not getting it, most of the people who don't get this who should are webmasters and web designers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a friend and he hired this really fancy web design firm, paid thousands of dollars, and I looked at the site and there was no opt-in box. Like they hadn't designed it in.
Yeah.
And I said, where's the opt-in box? You know, and he went to some fancy San Francisco web firm. And they didn't do it because they don't think that way. So I want to everyone listening to, you know, when you're talking to a webmaster, make sure they understand the importance of building a list and having that designed in to your site. Because, all right, what is a list, right? A list is a way to communicate with people and build a relationship. You know, they're not just names and emails. They're people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're building a relationship with them about your topic, your, you know, your area of the market. So building a list is building a relationship. And you can't get that relationship if you don't have an opt-in box because, you know, the statistics are, of every 100 people who come to your site, you know, this is a conversion rate statistic. So of every 100 people who come to your website, if one buys, that's a 1% conversion rate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're considered doing good. That's kind of average,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so 100 people come, one person buys. You got 99 who are leaving, and they may never come back again. So the reason why you want to have an opt-in box, you want to have some kind of offer, is so that you can then continue the relationship with them so they can get to know you.
Now, I think it's important. There's two really important points here. One you mentioned earlier that I want to highlight again, which is that you can pay $5,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 to these very slick web designers, and they may not know what we're talking about, or they may diminish what we're talking about. They're designers.
Right.
And your desire for an opt-in box may interfere with their desire to have a pretty page.
Right. Exactly.
This is a place where you absolutely must be in 100% control. You leave it up to the web designer to tell you what to do. And the other point I want to make is I always assume, and it's a very good assumption, that if somebody comes to my page and I don't get the opt-in, I can pretty much count on having lost them forever.
Right.
I really don't expect anybody ever to stumble on my website twice. If they do, I consider it a miracle. You know, and I thank God for it, but it is the rarity. So that moment when they hit your page is the moment that you really want to be doing everything you can to get somebody to opt in.
Right. Now, then the other thing, back to the web designer, is, you know, especially the fancy, expensive ones, they're working a lot for corporate America, and not many corporate websites have opt-in boxes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, well,
mm-hmm.
why is that, you know? Well, they're spending thousands of dollars on billboard ads, commercials, radio ads, you know, budgets that the small business owner getting started doesn't have. So for them, it may not be as critical because, you know, Coca-Cola has its branding,
mm-hmm.
right, because of all the thousands of dollars. So
no, actually, we could even really say tens of millions of dollars.
Exactly.
And you know, this is another really important issue for beginners to pay attention to. You know, we live in a sea of advertising. We see all kinds of advertising. We see Coca-Cola and Pepsi and you name it. You have to realize those advertisers have a very different task. They already exist. They already
right.
have distribution. They already have their products on supermarket shelves. Those ads are simply to, you know, put the brand name into somebody's mind so that when they're in the store, they remember to buy Coke or to buy Pepsi. That is a completely different task than the small business person has who's just getting geared up and has no awareness in the marketplace at all. So, you know, not only should you be very wary of listening to highfalutin, high-priced web designers, you should be very careful about thinking or copying Coke or Pepsi or any of these big companies,
right.
because their task is completely different than yours. They're doing what they do very well,
right?
But it's not relevant or applicable to what we're doing. And what we're doing is trying to get action,
right.
direct action that we can measure.
Right. And I mentioned this at the beginning, and I want to talk about blogging and RSS feeds. You know, so with blogging and RSS. So what is RSS? Well, it's a way for a person to get your blog content coming directly to you when a person blogs. So, for example, if you have a My Yahoo page, you can subscribe to someone's RSS feed, right? I'm me, the user, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can subscribe to Ken's RSS feed, and then when Ken blogs, I then see it on my Yahoo page.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's all great, but it's putting the control of the relationship into the user.
Mm-hmm.
And you as the business owner want more the control of the relationship into your hands.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is you can measure, all right, how many people subscribe to your RSS feed, but you don't know anything else about them. You don't know if they're male. You don't know if they're female.
You don't know
their names, you don't know their email addresses, you don't know who they are. So, you know, some people, you may start a business, right? You might be listening, you might start a business and realize, wow, lots of AOL people are signing up for me. You know, there's something there about
mm-hmm.
I'm attracting AOL users,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or I'm attracting all women,
mm-hmm.
or I'm attracting all men. So, you know, doing the whole blogging thing is great, but a lot of bloggers have also an opt-in box so that they're getting the names and the emails of that person who's signing up. And in my presentation, I'm going to have a bunch of pictures and case studies to fully, you know, illustrate this. If people are listening and they're still not sort of getting the RSS feed thing, I'm going to cover that in my talk.
Great. Yeah, that's great. And the other thing, too, is, you know, this RSS feed stuff is great, and heavy-duty users of the Internet are hip to RSS feeds, and they use them, and it's fabulous. I'm telling you, the average person, if you just stop them on the street,
right.
or even stop the average person who's at their computer at home surfing the web and go, hey, what RSS feeds are you signed up for? They're going to give you the blankest look you've ever
right.
seen in your life.
Right.
So if you're depending on people voluntarily subscribing to your blog posts as your business strategy, you are standing on one leg.
Right. Right.
In a windstorm. You know, it's just
right.
you're not in a good position.
Right. Like my, you know, my mom can sign up for my newsletter, my email newsletter, but my mom is not going to get it when I tell her subscribe to my RSS feed.
Okay. Okay.
So let me talk a little bit about, you know, what an autoresponder is, and the difference between that and broadcasting. Do you think that would be helpful?
That would be excellent. Thank you.
Okay. So an autoresponder, you know, most people are familiar with the basic, I'm on vacation, right? So, you know, when you go on vacation, you can set up, most people have this, you know, and I'm on vacation. It's an automatic email that goes out to someone. Now, when you have an opt-in box, right, that's an autoresponder, but it's an autoresponder that can send out a series of one or many messages that you, the business owner, and I'm going to just use the term the business owner. You could be a nonprofit, but I'm just going to use that term, the business owner. You, the business owner, decide, okay, for my market, I'm going to put an opt-in box on my site. And it could be a newsletter, a tip series. Some people do free chapters of their book if you're an author, or if you, you know, have an ebook that you're selling, you could give away some free chapters of your book. Whatever you think would be interesting to your market. And then what you do is you write these small email messages. They can be small or they can be long. I prefer short email messages because the purpose, right, of why are we doing this, right? Well, you want to build a relationship, get them to know you, know your style, personality, but you want to drive them back to your website. Now, I see a lot of beginners can do this. They get their autoresponders, they write them, right? So, and I go and I opt in. But then their email messages don't have any link to drive me back to their website.
Oh, my, you're kidding.
No. So the only link in the email is the unsubscribe at the bottom.
That hurts.
You know, so I applaud the person for putting in an opt-in box and having a message go out, but you have to remember, okay, why am I doing this? I'm doing this so the person comes back to my website.
Right. I mean, if nothing else, put a link to a Disney World or something, but don't ever put out an email with no links.
With no links, yeah.
Because what Christina's pointing out, and I never thought of this before, there will be a link by protocol. There'll be an unsubscribe link at the end of your email if you're using one of the good autoresponder services. So someone will read your email, they'll see a link, and people click on links. If there's one link, they'll click on the one link. They'll click on your unsubscribe link, and they'll go, oh, well, I guess I'll unsubscribe. Why not? I have too much email. Boom.
Right.
And you're gone. Oh, my goodness.
Right. It's really funny. So
that may be worth the whole call for some people out there.
Yes.
I'm always mailing with a link because I want people to do something. I'm never just mailing.
Right. And you know, like I recently emailed an Easter greeting, right? I wanted to send it out. I wasn't pitching anything, I wasn't selling anything, I wasn't teaching anything. It was just I wanted to send out an Easter greeting. So you can have a message with just a kind of a goodwill, a feel-good kind of message, but still put the link to your website.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Even if you're not pitching anything, at the minimum, just have the link to your website. So.
Or if it's an Easter message and you found a beautiful Easter website, send it to an, you know, send, but send, put a link. Put a link.
Right.
Wow.
So anyway, so back to autoresponders. So here's the beauty of it is you, the business owner, you set it up once, and then the emails happen automatically.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to send them out again. You don't have to think about it. It works 24/7. So people will come to your site, they'll opt in, enter their name and email, and then they'll start getting the series of messages that you've set up. So you want to keep in mind that each person who comes to your site is going to be in their own cycle, right? So Mary comes today, right? She opts in, and she's on day zero because today is day zero. right? Joe comes a week from now, okay? Now, a week from now, Joe's on day zero, Mary's on day seven.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all marching along in their own cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So now Mary's maybe up to her second or third message, and Joe's just getting his first. So when you write your autoresponders, you want to keep that in mind, that people are in their own cycle. So you want to come up with something, you know, that is evergreen.
Right.
Evergreen meaning, you know, it pertains today, it pertains to tomorrow, it pertains to a month ago.
Right. You don't want to make a reference to a current news event in an
right.
autoresponder series, because maybe someone will sign up for that a month later or a year later.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're going to hear, hey, how about those Red Sox?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
They didn't even win this year. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Then? But now I want to contrast that with broadcasting, okay, because
mm-hmm.
I just mentioned that Easter email I sent. I sent that Easter email because it was a date specific. I sent that as a broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Mary and Joe, they're on my list. They're in their own cycle, but they got that message all at the same time. So broadcasting, I like to think of it like you're standing in the middle of Times Square and you got your box there, and you stand up on your box with your megaphone and you shout out your message, and everybody turns and looks at you at the same time. So that's a broadcast. A broadcast is an action you take to the group of people, no matter where they are in the cycle.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And that can be timely or current event relevant.
Exactly. Right.
Like, and Happy Easter. Or, yeah.
Right. And you can combine the two. Like, a lot of people, let's say you're doing stock market. Like, say your site's all about the stock market. Well, you have an opt-in box, right? Opt-in to my newsletter. And that autoresponder would basically just have one message saying, okay, we got your info, and, you know, every Thursday we send out the newsletter. And so that person, that business owner, is broadcasting live because it's dependent upon current events or a specific date. Where somebody else who's just written an ebook, right, they can have an opt-in that has their three free chapters. So they,
gotcha.
You know, so they then wouldn't be broadcasting that. So when people are trying to decide what to come up with, you first want to decide, you know, is my business like the stock market, where I would just have one autoresponder message, basically a welcome message, and then send a broadcast every week? Or am I selling my ebook and going to have three free chapters?
Gotcha.
Now, one thing we haven't talked about, Ken, is some people think, well, can I just do this from my Outlook?
Oh, good point. But, you know, Christina, I love how thorough you are, because you're raising points that just are so, you know, been in my brain for so long, I never would have thought to mention them, and yet they're sort of almost life and death issues. It's a simple thing, but if you don't know it, you're going to get everything wrong.
Right.
I want to put out, Christina's given two sessions before at the system. One was on how to use one shopping cart. And, you know, that's a very powerful tool and a very good tool. And yet, a lot of people just didn't understand how to use it. They'd sign up for it and they wouldn't get started, or they wouldn't use all the features. And, Christina, you know, stood up and said, hey, I'm going to show people the details of how to use this. And last year, you spoke on a really important issue, something called upsells and cross-sells. Again, really important that, quote, everybody knows, but the fact is everybody doesn't know how important these things are. So anyway, sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to point this out to listeners. You're getting some really good stuff here.
I'm talking about is not technology dependent. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, and my presentation is not going to be technology dependent. It's the basics of email marketing, whether you use AWeber or One Shopping Cart or Infusion or Constant Contact or Autoresponse Plus. I mean, it doesn't matter which email system you use. these are the concepts that you need to understand, and you also need to understand them when you choose an email system. Because I'm on some lists, and all I wanted to do was change my email address. I didn't want to unsubscribe. And I click the link, and it says, you're unsubscribed. And I was like, wait, I just wanted to change my email address.
Oh, my God.
I didn't want to unsubscribe. You know, people need to understand these things when they pick a service. You know, do you give a way for the person to change their email address? You know, or better yet, change their name. Some people want to, you know, they get married or whatever, they want to change their name. But you want to have a system that lets people change their email address and not just give them the option of unsubscribing. I mean, it happened to me once. I didn't want to unsubscribe, but at that point it was like too much bother to like hunt it down.
Yeah, and you have to realize you're unless they're wildly enthusiastic about you, and some may be, but that's going to be a small percentage always. Unless they're wildly enthusiastic about you, they're not going to want to go through any complications.
Right.
If they go to a page and it's complicated and they've accidentally unsubscribed, they shrug their shoulders and go on to the next, and it's over.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing, I'm sure this has happened to you, this has happened to me. I've had people on my list for a year and a half before they've bought.
Oh, yeah.
And don't underestimate those people on your list who haven't yet bought from you. The timing may not be ready.
I've had people who have been subscribers to various things that I've written for over 8 years before they finally significant purchase from me.
Right.
It definitely happens. So you were talking about Outlook and why Outlook may not be a tool for this.
You know, I meet people and they're getting started on the internet and they're thinking, okay, why do I need an email service, right? Why don't I just use my Outlook? That's what I've been doing, and you create a list in Outlook and then you send out. Well, the problem with that, and I don't know what the threshold is, but you bump into a number. You know, it might be 100. I don't remember what the number is. But you then cannot mail out from Outlook. You know, and also by mass emailing from Outlook, you are not complying to the spam laws. And the spam laws say that, you know, one of the things that it says that's really important that we've just been talking about is you have to have an unsubscribe link. The person has to have a way by clicking a link to unsubscribe from you. And you also have to have a physical address whenever you mail out. And the email services, such as the two that I'm most familiar with is AWeber and the One Shopping Cart System, you know, they automatically put in that unsubscribe link for you.
Yeah, so if you are using one of those systems, all the legalities are taken care of for you. In fact, I know AWeber in particular will very vigorously enforce the legality of your email messages. So you don't even have to worry about it. They'll take care of everything for you,
and they'll defend you.
I want to do a little sidebar on this because this is so important, and I can speak more to AWeber than I can to any other service because I've been an AWeber user since the beginning and I've watched their evolution. I'm sure you're going to bring this up, but I have to jump ahead and tell people this because it's so important. Getting your email delivered is a battle.
Right.
Okay? There's nothing easy, automatic, or guaranteed about it. So it's critical that you're dealing with a good email service provider. AWeber, I think, is one of the best, if not the best, because they've got great relationships, there's that word again, with all the Internet service providers, like Hotmail, like Yahoo, like
AOL.
AOL and Earthlink and some other important players. Everybody knows there's a spam problem on the Internet, and the way that Internet service providers are dealing with it is by putting up filters. And you can get your stuff caught in a filter very easily. Or you can even get your emails banned by AOL entirely.
Right.
It's very easy to fall into that trap. On the other hand, if you're working with somebody like Aweber, they've got the relationship. They're pretty strict about what they let their users do.
Which is good for everybody.
Yeah, and it's not strict in the sense of being, you know, oppressive, but it's like if somebody wants to use Aweber to spam, Aweber's going to catch them and throw them off the system right away because they're protecting their reputation as a company and they're protecting the reputation of every one of their users. So you could be with a service that spammers use. You may be a perfectly fine person doing nothing but good, but you'll get tarred with the same brush as other bad users. So bottom line is a service like Aweber is just super because go ahead, please.
And they have a team of people doing this. You know, the CEO of Aweber is, you know, has a first name basis with the guys at AOL. Well, mm-hmm. I don't want that. You know, I'm a small mm-hmm. business owner. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to help my market in the niche that I'm in. I don't want to be chasing down this whole email nonsense stuff. You know, for $20-$30 a month, let the guys at Aweber do that.
Absolutely. And to do it right these days is literally a full-time job.
Yeah.
And none of us have the time. But this is so critical, though, that somebody do it for you.
Right.
And we've already said who. We've recommended one company. Because here's the bottom line. Let's say you're lucky and you're smart and you follow Christina's advice and you get a lot of opt-ins and you mail correctly and everything's beautiful, but you're not – for some reason your email's been blacklisted by various – service providers, maybe not even your fault. You may only be getting 50, 40, 30, 20% of your emails being delivered. So you may think, you know, I've got a nice 10,000 person list. I've really sweated to build this thing. Guess what? When you push send, only 2,000 people are getting it. That's why it's important not to use Outlook, not to use some kind of, you know,
Or like free, like sometimes your web hosting company will give you free scripts that you install on your own website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see people who do that. And then, mm-hmm. you know, your site could get blacklisted and you've got nobody going to bat for you.
And here's the terrible thing. You don't necessarily know that this has happened. Your mail just might be going into a black hole somewhere. You think it's going out. You wonder why no one's responding. Well, hey, don't they like me anymore? Don't they like my product? They may love you. They may love your product. They're not getting the email.
Exactly.
Great. That's a simple thing, but if you don't know it, it could completely trip you up.
Right. And you know, in my talk, I'm going to go through a lot of this with a lot of pictures of, you know, visualizing, you know, everything that we're talking about at the system.
Excellent. Well, this has been great. You know, our goal when we put on a system seminar conference is to cover all the important issues in internet marketing. And for so many of us who've been in internet marketing for such a long time, email and these little facts about email, these important distinctions about email, are as common as air. You know, nobody walks through the day thinking about air. It's sort of air. You breathe it. You're not even aware of it. But Christina's done a great service here on this call and in Chicago. We'll even add to it to point out these really important things that sometimes we forget to take the time to point out. If I were to summarize what we've covered so far, it's that email is probably the most essential thing to internet marketing or internet promotion success. Again, Christina pointed out, whether it's business or a nonprofit, it's all the same. The power is the same. It's all about the size of your list and the quality of your list. And there are a bunch of little things to be aware of, making sure your opt-in is visible on the homepage. We haven't really talked about the whole issue of inducements to get people to opt-in. That's a whole call unto itself, making sure that you're using the right kind of email service when you mail to people. And then simple things like that little one, like making sure you've always put a link of your choosing in every email, and you never send out just a blank email with no link on it, because the only link visible will be the unsubscribe. I never thought of that. but that could be a huge problem.
And also, what we've stressed on this call is that email marketing is something to use in conjunction with blogging and Web 2.0 and all the other techniques out there.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just, you know, not to be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And stressing the importance of it.
Yeah. And actually, I've recommended this to people for years. You can be instantly useful to any group, your church, you know, your local United Way. I mean, you just name it. All the groups that are doing good in your area, or all the small business people that you already know, just by educating them about this, by sharing the information with them on this call, you'll be doing them a tremendous service. And you've got actually some of this stuff may seem very simple, and it is once you know it. But it's still rare knowledge. I think we could stop 99 out of 100 website owners in the world today and give them a little pop quiz on some of the issues Christina brought up. And I think most of them would fail.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're dumb. Doesn't mean they're, you know, hopeless. It just means that there's some very basic but essential distinctions that nobody's ever taken the time to teach them. You know, it's very easy to come up with the glamorous gee whiz stuff and get everybody dazzled, but you know, at the end of the day, that's not what wins the day. You know, what wins the day is being knowing what really matters and paying attention meticulously in a detailed way to all these seemingly minor points.
And you know, you brought up a good point that I want to stress is, you know, some people getting started on the internet don't yet know what their business is going to be, or they don't yet know sort of what they want to do, what their market
mm-hmm.
is. So look around for a nonprofit like a church and help them.
Mm-hmm.
And by helping, like let's say your church as an example, by helping them or the Levies or whomever, by helping them get their email marketing going, you're going to learn how to do this and be better prepared for your own business. So some people listening on the call, you know, they may still have day jobs. They may have not yet quit and started their own business because they're not sure what they want to do. The best thing to do to get started is to help somebody else who has an established organization or business. You know, so help your church get opt-ins.
Yeah, help your maybe a friend or a relative owns a business.
Exactly.
Or maybe you have a business that you frequent and you're friendly with the owner. There's probably somebody out there who has a need for this information. And Christina's right. There's the best seminar you'll ever get is taking this material and applying it.
Right.
And don't wait to have the perfect business idea. When I was getting started as a marketer, That is actually what I did.
I did that too.
Yeah, and I bet a lot of people do. And I had my own projects and my own things that I was trying to do. But I also had friends that were trying to do stuff. They just didn't know anything about marketing, and I was happy to pitch in, and it always paid. Not in money, but in experience, and also that feeling of confidence. And because I think you know, we can talk and talk and talk, and you can listen and learn and take notes. But until you actually do it and until it actually works for you, it just won't be real.
Right. It's like getting on a bicycle.
Right. We can talk about...
You can watch a person get on the bike, but you got to actually get on the bike. And by helping somebody else, it removes your ego. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not
your
baby. It's not your thing. It's not your, oh, my God, this is my business that I'm going to start that's going to make me $1 million. Right?
Right.
It then comes with all kind of stuff.
Right.
It's like... Hey, this is an important technique that you need to do to have an online business. All right, I'm going to help this other person because my ego will be out of it, and I can just execute it.
Yep. And I want to give one more caveat. Some people will be very receptive to your advice. It probably will have to do with the quality of the relationship you already have with them. Sometimes it's hard to teach relatives, just be aware, or close friends. It's funny, you know, they think, well, what does she know? You know, what does he know? So don't be discouraged if sometimes you offer help and it's not received. Just keep looking, because I guarantee you'll find somebody who'll be completely receptive But don't bang your head against the wall too. You know, if a group just for one reason or another just doesn't get it, don't get stuck on that. Believe me, there's people that want help. And I've had that experience here in New Orleans. When I met Sandy Rosenthal, who's the head of Levees.org, we sat down. I talked to her for a half hour. She got it, and she's the best client I've ever had. Every bit of advice I give her, she takes and uses right away. And then I've had other groups that I've sat down and I've explained until I was blue in the face, and they just don't get it. And I have to move on, unfortunately.
They weren't ready for that information.
Yeah, and I don't write them off. Maybe someday they will. If I believe in their cause, I believe in their cause, and I'll be available to them. But you don't want to spend too much time trying to persuade somebody of the obvious. You don't have to present yourself as an expert. Say, hey, look, I took this course, and these people who are very good at this said that, you know, getting email lists is the most important thing, and I bet it would help your business. Would you like me to what you're doing and see if I can help you get more email names and use them?
Right.
That's all. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to pretend or make anything up. It's just common sense, but it's amazing how many. Let's forget the internet for a second. It's amazing how many business owners don't take advantage of the flow of business that they've already got. You know, restaurants that don't know their customers, hairdressers that don't have lists of their customers. It's an epidemic. If it were a disease, it would be an epidemic.
And I like to think of, you know, email marketing and good marketing is like good special effects. You don't notice it unless it's bad, right?
Mm.
So good marketing just feels natural, right? Like air.
Mm-hmm.
Good marketing, like good special effects. You know, you watch Star Wars and you're watching those characters talk to the humans, and if you've done a good job as a special effects artist, the audience doesn't even blink or think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same with your marketing. That's the goal for your marketing, is that for it to be so smooth that the person doesn't think.
That's such a good point. Sometimes people get intoxicated with clever marketing. And believe me, clever marketing is not clever at all. Clever marketing is when somebody says, hey, I met the most interesting person, or I read the most interesting thing today, and I discovered that they could help me with this problem or help me achieve this thing I've wanted to achieve, and they did. You know, and it came out great. They're not thinking, oh, gee, this really slick marketer enticed me with a great headline and double opted in to me and, you know, did a reverse close and, wow, that was magnificent. No. You want it to be as natural a process as possible. And I do want to, I'm going to throw this caution out. There's different cultures in the internet marketing world, and some of the cultures within our industry are very into what I call macho marketing, which is, oh, we're going to, you know, use every amazing technique, and we're going to use it with a sledgehammer, and then we're going to high-five ourselves afterwards on how smart we are. You could take that approach. I prefer, and I know Christina prefers too, a customer-centric approach, where your website and your emails and all your, quote, marketing is really just nothing more than trying to put the right offer in front of the right people at the right time with as little friction and falderal as possible. And we're very fortunate that we have this tool called the Internet. People can learn about our products at 3 in the morning on a Tuesday night. We can automatically add them to a autoresponder series and send them 10 sequential emails over a 10-week period, educating them and moving them closer to the sale if the sale is the right thing for them. We can automate all that. We can get our sales messages delivered to, you know, 100,000 people a month for less than it used to cost to send to 100 people a month. So we really, you know, from the marketing point of view, we live in an age of miracles, and one of the keys to this, and again, Christina, I'm so glad you just said, Ken, we got to talk about email. One of the keys to this whole thing is email. So Christina, you're going to be in Chicago. We're looking forward to having you there, as always. Christina will be one of 25 faculty members. We try to get experts on all different topics, not just at NeuroBand, but every topic that we think is important for internet marketing. Again, our criteria are simple. We want somebody that's already accomplished, that's doing stuff, measurable stuff, and we want somebody who's committed to I Ching and to conveying and transmitting this experience and information to others. When you come to the system seminar, you're going to find that we have a very different atmosphere than other seminars you might be used to. We do have a lot of experts. We have a lot of world-famous experts, but everybody comes in and is standing on the same ground. We don't feel that you know, one group of internet marketers is greater than another group and therefore you know, can lord it over everybody else. If you're a beginner, you'll be welcome. Nobody's going to say, hey, you know, you don't even know what an email address is, get lost. You know, we all were beginners once. I'm always aware of remembering my beginner status. Christina has that same kind of mind, and our faculty members in general really share that. So it's a friendly atmosphere. It's a positive atmosphere. We're dedicated to the success of everybody who comes. We've got superior faculty in terms of expertise and teaching ability. And like I said at the beginning of this call, we have a track record of producing successful internet marketers that just is second to none. We're going to be meeting May 30th, 31st, and June 1st in Chicago. For more information, you can go to thesystemseminar.com. We would love to see you if this is the right thing for you to do right now. If for some reason it's not, please, please, please take advantage of all these calls. I hope you've seen from this one that these are not come-ons. These are not cliffhangers. You know, you got to get the real stuff by coming to the seminar. We gave you as much real stuff as we could in the time that allows. And by coming to the actual live event, you'll be able to meet Christina and other faculty members. You'll be able to meet practitioners, people that have ongoing internet businesses that will share their experiences with you. You'll make friends. You'll make alliances.
And you get your questions answered. You know, where else do you have all these experts together that you can walk up and just talk to?
It's true. And some of these guys, you know, like some of them are like, you know, old friends, and I even got them started in the business, and I have trouble getting in touch with them.
Right.
They're so busy. And they'll be wandering around acting like normal human beings.
Exactly.
You know, available, accessible. And I ask that of all the faculty. I tell everybody who's interested in teaching with us, I say, look, this is not a platform speaking gig. I mean, yes, you're going to do a workshop, you're going to be in front of an audience, but it's really, we have a community here, and it's really about being available to people, helping them get the next, make the next step in their internet career. So, Christina, I'll see you in Chicago, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time out for the call and for putting your spotlight on this really important issue and being meticulous about thinking through all the points that a beginner needs to know.
Thanks, Ken. I look forward to seeing you in Chicago and seeing everyone there. And anyone who has any question about anything, just feel free to come up and talk to me at the system on email marketing or anything else.
Okay. We'll do that. I'm looking forward to talking with you, too. We still need to get some of your notes on from last year's seminar on upsells and cross-sells. That was an amazing presentation. And we've started to implement. Sometimes, hey, look, it takes me time to implement stuff, too. And it's been, in terms of effort in and results out, it's been some of the most lucrative stuff we've ever done. So I want to thank you for that presentation last year, too.
Oh, great. Thanks.
All right, well, this is Ken McCarthy for the System Seminar saying goodbye for Christina Hills, and I'll see you in Chicago.